see my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at issuesetc.org.
When they come in there, it is with one plan for this woman, and the plan is that they get an abortion. We would censor magazines. We would go through and we would cut out pictures of babies, pictures of diapers.
Whatever our group, whether male or female, Jew or Greek, again, all of those categories have become so important again today. It doesn't matter when you've been baptized into Christ. He gives us a different identity.
He'll give you what you need. It's an eternal peace. It's in him. And he absolutely will give you what you need each day. Pray to him and say, Lord Jesus, you are my peace.
Dear Lord, let your holy angel be with me. That the evil foe may have no power over me. Into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and fathers watching their four-month-old daughters love listening to Issues, Etc.
It is the probably most cherished image of Jesus next to maybe the baby Jesus in a manger or Jesus hanging dead on a cross. That image, a parabolic one, of him carrying the lamb on his shoulders, of him standing in the midst of his flock with his shepherd's crook in hand, of him reaching out to save the straying sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, but Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd in a very particular way. He's not good in that he's always nice and kind. He's not good even that he is gentle and loving and forgiving. He is certainly all of those things, but he is good in that he lays down his life for the sheep. That's what makes him different, and that's what makes him the good shepherd. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the good shepherd in John chapter 10 and, of course, Psalm 23. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. After that, Lyman Stone joins us. He and his wife serve as missionaries with the Lutheran Church Hong Kong Synod. They have been dealing with coronavirus or COVID-19 for months now. We'll talk with him about the church and coronavirus. We'll discuss some primary challenges to pro-life Democrats coming from the Democratic Party with Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America. And then we'll round everything off today talking with Pastor David Peterson about a prayer service called the Litany, especially appropriate at these difficult and trying times. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Good Shepherd in John 10 and Psalm 23, Pastor Tom Baker. He hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
It has been a chaotic week for children. It's going to be chaotic in the weeks to come. They might be confused about what's going on around them. Why is it a good time to remind them about Jesus, the Good Shepherd?
The Good Shepherd is one of the best metaphors that God uses to help us understand his wonderful, loving relationship between himself and us. Because the Good Shepherd, if you remember King David, he was a good shepherd. He killed a couple of animals that were trying to attack the sheep. The Good Shepherd was willing to lay down his life. And therefore, the Good Shepherd was there to protect the sheep. In fact, in the very first verse, it talks about Jesus speaking of the Good Shepherd. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, when we think about sheep, we don't think of a door. We normally think of a pasture. and the sheep are out in the pasture, and if anything is watching over them, it might be a dog of the shepherd or something like that. But we need to remember that in Jesus' day, they had walls, and they were kind of in a rectangle, and the sheep would be taken into that area through a door. And they were therefore protected by the walls. And guess what the shepherd would do? He would lie down at night in the doorway, therefore protecting the sheep who were inside this enclosure from enemies, from animals, from thieves, etc. And that's what the good shepherd does. Jesus is going to be making a distinction between the good shepherd and others who are not really looking out for the sheep. They're looking out for their own self-interest. And so this is what this particular chapter, John 10, is all about. Jesus being the good shepherd who doesn't climb in another way to take care of the sheep, but actually is not a thief, not a robber, not a beast to kill the sheep, but is willing to lie in the doorway so that others cannot get in to harm the sheep. And that's a really good kind of thing to tell children. Depending on the age of children, some of them are now home from school and they can't understand it because it's not Christmas, it's not summer, but this virus has encouraged schools not to have very many children in large groups. And so they may be at home at night, sleeping in bed, wondering what's going on. And the Sunday school teacher, as well as the parents, can give them some great help and comfort in sharing with them that Jesus is their shepherd. He's in the door of the bedroom, the door of the house, and he will make sure that nothing will happen to them beyond his will. And so they can be comforted by that, as many parents do when they go into the child's bedroom at night and the child is crying because they are scared, maybe of the thunder or the lightning, and say, no, that's what God is doing. And we pray that he will continue to take care of us as he did, because you are a lamb of the Lord. You are part of the flock of God. And so that's how Jesus starts off this chapter on I am the good shepherd, indicating that he's kind of lying in the doorway to protect the sheep from those who want to harm them.
So take us into the text itself. What does Jesus say of himself in John chapter 10?
Yes. He who enters by the door, not the one over the walls trying to get to the sheep, he is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper would open. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, I don't know if you've seen many cowboy movies, and how do they drive cattle? The cowboys are at the back of the herd, and they're driving from the back, urging the cattle on. This is in contrast to a proper shepherd whose voice is recognized by the sheep, and the sheep follow the shepherd. They're not driven from behind by a good shepherd. As verse 3 says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. A perfect example of that is the previous chapter. It's John chapter 9. It's also the gospel reading for this coming Sunday in Lent. And what it is about the man born blind. Now, he was a believer because he was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. What Jesus did, he broke the laws of Judaism by mixing saliva with dirt. That was a law that they weren't to do in mixing for making dough, etc. You weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. This was a Sabbath day. And yet, he told the man to go to the pool of Siloam, which is called Sent, and Jesus was sent from God to us. He sends the man to the pool, and guess what? He's healed. And then when he comes back and finds Jesus, Jesus asks, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus says, verse 37, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. I mean, that's about the only verse you need in the whole Bible to show that Jesus says that he's divine and is the Messiah. The blind man, now healed, Lord, I believe, and he worships Jesus. So, here's another good example of what Jesus as the good shepherd does. He takes care of his sheep who hear his voice. What does it mean to hear his voice? We're not talking about an auditory sense where you have ears. Oh yeah, I heard Jesus talking, says the Pharisee. No, we mean hear in the sense of believe what he is saying. Like a parent may tell a child not to do something, and the child goes ahead and does it anyway. The parent says, didn't you hear me? Well, the parent isn't expecting the child to come back and say, yeah, I heard you. My ears were open. No, the parent means, why didn't you obey me? This is really important. This is why a divine worship service is filled with the voice of Jesus. Even when the pastor is talking, people need to recognize that if he's talking properly, he is simply mimicking Jesus. He's saying the words of Jesus. No pastor has the ability to baptize an infant, giving them the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the pastor uses the words Jesus said to use, Matthew 28, go therefore make disciples by baptizing into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so though the pastor is voicing these words, it is really Jesus who is doing the saving. And though the pastor is putting water onto the infant, it is Jesus who is working through that water, which is not simple water only, but it's water connected to the promises of Jesus. So, that's why at a baptism, we name the child. And, of course, their new name also is Christian. They're part of the family of God. The sheep hear his voice, and that's because of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he leads them out by name. Verse 4, chapter 10. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's the point I was making about the difference between cowboys driving cattle from behind and proper shepherds leading the sheep. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow. And that's really true. I've been involved with many congregations, and every now and then a member of a congregation may hear some other pastor or some other religious leader say something. Yeah, if you give more money to church, God will bless you more. Or if you are more obedient to God, God will love you more. And they cringe at that because this is not the voice of Jesus. This is a stranger. And they will flee from him, verse 5, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. So this is really an important point that Jesus is using. And he talks about, John does, as a figure of speech.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're going to talk a little bit about that figure of speech that he mentioned just a moment ago and the contrast between the Good Shepherd and, well, it sounds like pretty nasty fellows. There sounds like there aren't any other Good Shepherds at all. Everyone else is a bad shepherd or a hireling or a thief or a robber? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're plowing on into Hebrews, destroying the one who has the power of death, Jesus, better than Moses, as long as it is called today. There remains a Sabbath rest and the throne of grace. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in southern Alberta, Canada? Look no further than Resurrection Lutheran Church of Lethbridge. We rebuke false doctrine and call sinners to repentance. We proclaim the gospel to all and provide Christ's sacramental medicine to those who believe what the Holy Spirit has clearly and inerrantly taught in Holy Scripture. We practice these things in the context of closed communion and with the use of the historic lectionary, hymnal, and liturgy. Check us out at resurrectionlutheran.ca or like us on Facebook or call 403-915-4336.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in John 10 and Psalm 23. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We will post a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. So, Tom, you wanted to talk about this other figure of speech here in John 10.
Yes. The figure of speech that Jesus is referring to is, "The sheep won't follow a stranger. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Now, the next verse, John himself writes, this figure of speech Jesus used with them. When you look up what the original Greek is, it's parolmia, and it really means a hidden saying. Jesus would use it in parables. He tells about a parable about a lost sheep. Shepherd finds it, puts it on his shoulders, carries it home. Most of the people listening to Jesus had no idea what he was talking about. They didn't realize that Jesus was the shepherd. They were the lost sheep. They were found by Jesus. So it's kind of a hidden saying, and that's what Jesus is using here, that most of the people don't realize that Jesus is talking about himself, that he is not the stranger, but a lot of them follow the strangers like some of the unbelieving Pharisees, etc., that talk about works as a way of salvation. The word is only used four times in the New Testament, two more times here in the Gospel according to John, and once in 2 Peter, where a kind of a parable is put together to help people understand. So, when Jesus confronts them who don't understand this figure of speech, verse 7, John 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Now, here we have a problem in the English. It's not a problem in the Greek, but the English just doesn't make it clear. It's when Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." In the Greek, there is one word for the word "I am," emi, E-I-M-I. But Jesus puts the pronoun ego in front of it, so he ends up saying, "Ego, emi, I am." And what does that remind you of? That reminds you of the words of God to Moses on Mount Sinai at the burning bush. Moses says, "Who do we say that you are? What is your name?" And Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am." And it's in the Hebrew as Yahweh. In fact, more and more translations are just using that. That is the official name of God in the Hebrew. And the way we say it in the English a lot of times, it's the word Lord with every letter capitalized. There's another word for Lord, Adonai, that just means the Lord of the manor. And this Lord, though, is God himself. So this really makes the Pharisees angry with Jesus, because he says, I am. In other words, he uses the name of God from Exodus 3. In the Gospel according to St. John, he does this over 20 times. And this is a chapter where he does it more than once. In fact, we always have a Bible verse from Enduring Faith, the CPH material. And the one they chose this time is a really good one. It's in our text, John 10, verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Well, guess what? When you go to "I am," it's the same. Ego, emi, the good shepherd. He uses the name of God and says, "I am the good shepherd." In the same way, he says, "I am the door." Now, if Jesus is the door, that means nobody gets into the pen where the sheep are kept safe except through Jesus. And that's another "I am." I am the way, the truth, and the life. If anyone enters by me, that's verse 9, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In contrast to me, Jesus says, verse John 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then comes the Bible memory verse that all the children should memorize and the teacher should go over it a few times in the classroom. I am the good shepherd. Now, why is he the good shepherd? Well, there's many reasons. He leads them to pasture. He protects them. But here's the reason Jesus gives in verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As I taught for many years, the Sunday school teachers, do not teach the lesson until you find out where the cross is, where Jesus' death, maybe his resurrection, his ascension is, his suffering. And here it is, verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. In what way? I lay down his life for the sheep. Whereas he who is a hired hand, you know, he doesn't own the sheep. He's just hired to take care of them. And he's not a shepherd. He does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Now, who is Jesus referring to as the wolf? Well, the devil himself. And then he explains why the bad shepherd flees. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep. I've said this many a time on Law and Gospel, that the difference between the work of a Christian and the work of an unbeliever is that they could be the same work, say, giving food to the hungry. But the unbeliever always does it out of self-interest. He can't possibly do it out of his love for Jesus because he doesn't believe in Jesus. So he's really doing it for his own reputation. So verse 14 goes on, I am the good shepherd. There's I am again. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, we talked about how the pastor recognizes that with infants, they get to know Jesus through the waters of baptism. But many a pastor has visited shut-ins, some who may be near death. And guess what? When you share with them the promises of Jesus Christ from the Psalms or from New Testament epistles or the Gospels, guess what? They know the Father, and they are comforted by hearing the voice of Jesus. Therefore, I know my own means they're part of my family. And my own know me means they trust my promises. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
We'll discuss what Jesus means by that, this other sheep, and yet they will all become one flock with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10 and Psalm 23. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Your sun-bleached felt church banners have seen better days. Held together with staples and superglue, they are a monument to Aunt Mabel's pastel-toned creativity from 1960. But it's time for a refresh. Ad Crucem has the solution that doesn't even need a Sharpie. We proudly offer Scapegoat Studios creations as well as Ad Crucem's original banners. Come and browse our wide selection of seasonal church banners. We also create banners and church signs to your design. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. P Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska, Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Strongsville, Ohio, St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin, and University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pastor Tom Baker is teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus the Good Shepherd. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Here's an excerpt from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Four pages devoted in the short children's book to the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Exactly how Jesus says he is a good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. See his hand spread out against the wood, held there by nails, determined to do this for you and for your forgiveness. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. See My Savior's Hands by Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Order one for a child, godchild, grandchild, you know. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Tom, you wanted to talk a little bit about the contrast there, the Jesus being the good shepherd in that he is laying down his life.
Yes. And the point he was making is that he has sheep that are not of this fold. Now, normally when we think of the fold of Christ, we mean the Holy Christian Church. So there are sheep that are not part of the Holy Christian Church? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. When he says they are not of this fold, in that day you were of the fold of God if you could show your descendancy from Abraham. Gentiles were not considered to be of the fold. But Jesus did consider Gentiles to be of the fold because he even gave faith to some of them, like Cornelius, the Roman soldier, etc. So he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, namely of Israel, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This is really, really important, what he just said. He's not only going to willingly lay down his life, but he's also going to take it up again. No one takes it from me, verse 18, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now, the ESV uses the term charge. All the other ones use what the word does say, commandment. It's the Greek word for commandment, that God the Father had given Jesus the commandment that he would lay down his own life, but also have authority to take it up again. Now, this is a great question you can ask people. Which of the three persons of the Trinity, which of them raised Jesus from the dead? The answer is all three of them participated in it. There's a Bible verse where the Father raised him. There's a Bible verse where the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. And there's, of course, this Bible verse where Jesus raised himself from the dead. So this is really an important point to get across to the children, that Jesus was still in total control, not only when he went to his death for the children, but also when he was raised from the dead. Now, 1,000 years before Jesus was born as a human being, David wrote Psalm 23. Now, I believe that Jesus also has a Psalm 23 he spoke of as a parable. It's Luke 15. the parable of the lost sheep. Very, very close to Psalm 23. But when you look back at Psalm 23, it's written by David, but it is also all about what Jesus the shepherd is doing for us. And David starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." And there, the word Lord in the English is all capitalized. Remember, I am who I am, the word Yahweh. And then he says, "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, the CPH material had a kind of a good idea, Enduring Faith, that if possible, the Sunday school teacher could bring in a green rug that they would be sitting on when they're going through the lesson, reminding them of the green pastures that God gives to us as sheep, and leads me beside still waters. Why the word still? Because if sheep go into rolling waters with big waves due to their outer coat, they can end up drowning. And so it's by still waters, green pastures, and he restores my soul, which means he brings me back from the dead. And how does he do that? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why we baptize infants in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they receive righteousness. Then for elderly individuals in the congregation who may be near death, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Who's you? That's Jesus. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the rod was a short stick used by shepherds to beat off animals trying to attack the sheep. And the staff often could be used to help a sheep who had fallen into a ditch get out of that particular predicament. So God's rod and his staff, one can look at as kind of law and gospel. The law to show us our sin, the staff to comfort us with the wonderful promises of Jesus. And then, of course, the preparing the table before me in the presence of my enemies would be the Lord's Supper, anointing my head with oil, my cup overflows, just as David's head was anointed with oil by the prophet when he was to become king of Israel, so also in baptism were anointed with the oil of waters of baptism connected to the promises of God. And so a very good verse, another one for older children to memorize perhaps during this virus time, is verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Why? Because he's the good shepherd. He's with you at all times. He's merciful in not giving you what you deserve. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That forever began when you came to faith or at your baptism, because the house of the Lord is nothing else than the holy Christian church on earth. So the Sunday school lesson from John 10, coupled with Psalm 23, should be a great comfort to children who are kind of wondering, what is going on today that I'm home from school? My parents aren't working. Is this something I need to fear? Well, we may have some concerns, but we don't have to think that God has left us. He is still with us, taking care of us and keeping, and here's the big point, keeping his promises, because he is lying in the doorway to protect us and also to let us come in to his pen, his fold, and to go out to have green pastures and still waters.
It isn't included in our text, Tom, but it does follow in verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words, because of the Good Shepherd words. Yes. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? What was it that Jesus had said that made some conclude that he was out of his mind?
Well, first of all, he used the name of God. I mean, that would be like me getting up in a sermon and saying, by the way, the reason you need to listen to me, I am the second incarnation of Jesus Christ. I use my name saying it's Jesus Christ. So that would be one of the reasons why they would have that understanding. Second of all, there was a division among them because some of them couldn't understand, if he's not of God, how could he heal this man who was born blind and then was not able? In fact, that's actually what the verse says. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? But the main teaching of Jesus was that you are not saved by your works, but you're saved instead by the death of the Messiah on the cross. And that is just demonic to people who keep boasting about their self-interest works and why they're sure they're going to heaven because they're a lot better off than those tax collectors. In fact, almost everything Jesus says, from the Sermon on the Mount to talking privately to Mary and Martha, etc., that all would have been demonic from the point of view of those individuals who do not believe in him, because apart from faith, Jesus never makes sense.
Finally, then, what's the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children in this dual lesson of John 10 and Psalm 23?
Yeah, I think I heard an interesting thing on the radio about how this particular virus is not the first time that something has hit the United States. They had 8 instances where hundreds, if not thousands, of people died previously. And so we need to recognize we're living in a sinful world and are facing physical and spiritual danger at all times. But the gospel is Jesus remains the good shepherd who not only laid down his life for us, but he has promises to lead us, to guide us, and protect us. And that's the comfort that we pray that the Sunday school teachers will be able to give to the Sunday school students.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Lyman Stone is with us on the other side of the break. He is a missionary in the Lutheran Church Hong Kong Synod. If you know anything about the way that the coronavirus has been spreading, they've been dealing with coronavirus in a very serious way for about 2 months. We'll talk with him on the other side of the break about the church and the coronavirus. Then Kristen Day of Democrats for Life will be alongside to talk about primary challenges to pro-life Democrats.
See my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at IssuesETC.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you. Good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. LutheranFCU.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.